This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
SETI.
We are pleased to have Dr. Jill Tarter, an astronomer, a holder of Bernard M. Oliver Chair for SETI from the Centre for SETI Research, SETI Institute, with us for the interview today. Welcome again, Dr. Jill, to the interview in Jodcast today.
Thanks very much for inviting me.
Dr. Jill, you are a leader in the SETI Institute and also an astronomer, have made several significant contributions to the research in SETI. Where are we today in searching for extraterrestrial intelligence?
Well, today we can say that we're doing about 14 factors of 10 better than Frank Drake's original search in 1960. So that's an enormous amount of improvement, mainly in computer processing capabilities, but also in antenna technology and receiver technology. But we expect to be doing a whole lot better next year and 10 years from now. The SKA may well be a big part of that.
People who may be listening for the first time, could you tell us, is this an attempt to answer a bigger question relating to, are we alone in the universe?
That is the fundamental question. We are trying to, we call this the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. But in fact, we can't directly detect intelligence. And so what we do is we use technology as a proxy. And we use the tools of the astronomer at the moment in the radio part of the spectrum and the optical part of the spectrum to look for evidence of someone else's technology out there. And if we should find that evidence, we're going to infer that it was built by some intelligent engineer. We don't necessarily know whether that intelligent engineer is still there or not, but there was intelligence at some time. That's about the best we can do. And that would be one answer to the question, are we alone? It would tell us that there are mathematicians out there if we succeed. In terms of microbes, there may be other ways to find non-technological life, looking for the ways that these life forms modified the atmospheres of their planets. We're assuming that they would be planetary organisms. That requires totally different kinds of technologies, a chemistry set that can look at the atmosphere and decide what particular molecules and atoms are in the atmosphere of a distant planet and decide whether or not it takes some kind of biology to make that particular chemical mix in the atmosphere. That's something that we call the search for biosignatures. SETI, we can call the search for technosignatures. These are different ways of trying to understand whether life, at least life such as we know it and might recognize it, has originated and evolved beyond the Earth.
That's really exciting. Can you tell us if there are any major observational facilities across the world involved in this work?
Well, in the SETI work, in the radio, we have the Allen Telescope Array in Northern California. The Arecibo Radio Telescope is being used by the SETI at Home group at Berkeley. There's a large radio telescope in Italy, Medicina. LOFAR in the Netherlands and the UK has begun doing SETI work. Occasionally, the Parkes Telescope in Australia gets used. I don't want to leave anyone out, but those are the major instruments for radio SETI. And then optical SETI is being done at university class telescopes at Harvard, at UC Berkeley, in Australia, in Campbelltown. We are trying to put another, we had a optical SETI program running on LIC. We're trying to replace it with a new system that actually goes into the infrared. Also, Charlie Towns has built a spatial interferometer on Mount Wilson. The Berkeley group is trying to instrument that for optical SETI as well. But optical SETI has been confined to date to meter class telescopes. So the challenge for that in the future is to get it on bigger pieces of glass and also to move down into the infrared, where there's less dust obscuration and scattering. And for the radio, we need more time on the sky and larger collecting area.
Are there any research facilities from the United Kingdom is involved in the SETI work, or likely to be involved?
There has been interest in the UK. At the moment, I'm unaware, except as with its involvement in LOFAR, of any direct SETI observations being done here. But I'd like to learn from your listeners that I was wrong.
Is there any possibility of E-Merlin getting involved?
The E-Merlin array could, in fact, get involved. When you phase up that telescope, it forms a nice beam on the sky. And if there were time available to use it for SETI, then I think the back ends could be developed. That is, the signal processing capability could be developed with modern computing. And so that is a possibility. I'm actually not aware of whether there's any activity along that line. And maybe while I'm here at Jodrell Bank today, I'll learn about some interest in doing that.
We also come across a new telescope being built for the future radio astronomy research, namely the Square Kilometer Array. Do you foresee the use of the Square Kilometer Array for the SETI research?
I'm very hopeful that that will be the case, that the Square Kilometer Array will continue to keep a science case as part of its portfolio, a science case that we call the Cradle of Life. The Square Kilometer Array could directly look for engineered radio signals from an intelligent technological species, and it can also search for very large organic molecules in the interstellar medium and help us to distinguish between the reality and the poetry that we blend together today as we try and understand how the building blocks for life as we know it were generated and delivered to the early Earth. Because if we can understand that process, maybe we'll have a better handle on where it might have happened in other solar systems. But right now, we can't make a direct connection from point A, you formed this large molecule, to point B, it was delivered intact or mostly intact to the early Earth. So it seems quite reasonable, and as I said, it's very poetic to think about the stardust from which we are formed. But there's quite a bit of science that needs to be done to fill in the details.
This is really exciting to know. We not only look for living being, we also look for signatures of the development of the living being evolved around us.
Absolutely. We are trying to figure out where we came from and whether there's anyone else out there. And the story of how chemistry and physics ultimately produced biology on the planet Earth is a complex and fascinating story that we are beginning to piece together, but don't have all of the details yet. And what we know so far indicates that there doesn't seem to have been anything very special about the Earth in this process. So it's not unreasonable to think that it might have happened elsewhere.
So it's quite interesting. SETI seems to connect all branches of science and engineering and thinking process and make human race to work together for one goal.
Well, that's why we formed the SETI Institute as a nonprofit organization back in 1984. We wanted to have a home, a housing for research scientists from a whole lot of different disciplines, all of which had some relevance, had some bearing on the question of the origin and the evolution and the distribution of life in the universe. It's often called astrobiology, in which case SETI is just one form of astrobiology that looks for intelligent life. And we found it extremely beneficial to have all of these different scientists and engineers under one roof collaborating on this large question.
This seems to be a revolutionary thought indeed, and I still feel we will have much more results in the coming years, and that will make this project more and more attractive to the young people.
Well, I certainly hope, I hope that we have more results in the coming years. Since I started a long time ago, there have been two real game changers, which are extremophiles and exoplanets. So when I was a young student and starting out, what we thought we knew about life would have restricted it to environments that were very much like what you and I would be comfortable in. But in fact, extremophiles have shown us that life has evolved to occupy the most extreme niches on the planet. Our study other stars has led us to the conclusion that planets around other stars, exoplanets, are extremely common. They're probably just about every star has a planet. And that's a lot different than early days when we knew about the planets in our solar system and we really wondered whether the process of planet formation was common. Did any other star have planets? Well, now we know the answer. It's yes, they do. There are lots of planets out here. And because the range of physical conditions under which life as we know it can not only survive but thrive, it may be that there's a lot more habitable real estate out there in the cosmos than we once might have thought.
That is really exciting to know. SETI research is nearly 5 decades old. A good part of it, you have been associated with this and you've been leading several research projects. And you also won several recognitions, awards, and also been listed as the top 100 most influential person on planet Earth. Would you have some message to the young researchers?
Well, I think the only message I have is to work hard and learn how to do something really well, something that you love doing, something that's really fun for you and you get really good at it, and then go look for what opportunities there are to use your skills to pose and answer new questions. So I started out as an engineer and then I did a PhD in astrophysics. And when I read about SETI and the possibility of using radio telescopes to answer this question that for millennia we've been asking the priests and the philosophers what we should believe, I got so excited because I had the right skills at the right time, was in the right place, and could try and do an experiment to answer this important question rather than have to accept somebody's belief. So it was an exciting time, a time when we could begin to explore, to find out what is, and no longer have to accept what someone else told us. So I lucked out. I had good problem-solving skills. I knew engineering. I knew something about what the sky looked like and how the astronomical world worked. And I was able to apply it to this new field of SETI.
Thank you very much for that inspiring message. And once again, Dr. Jill Tarter, we thank you for leading such a project which is trying to unite the entire human race as one family and look for the nearest neighbors anywhere else in the universe.
I think you've just summarized the most important aspect of the search. If we think about it and we actually adopt a more cosmic perspective and we try and place ourselves in that bigger picture, it actually trivializes the differences among humans on this planet that we find so difficult today. And I hope that it helps us, in fact, manage to figure out how to cooperate and take on these large challenges that we have in front of us if we're to have a long future.
Thank you, Dr. Jill Tarter. We wish you the very best on this big journey ahead of you and all of us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.